You know, I never really thought about it in that perspective, that we can control our eyes. And so Job says, I want to be sure that I can control my eyes, Lord. I don't want, and he talks here about, why then should I think upon a maid? What he's really trying to say is, he's got to be careful what he looks at. And you know, I thought about that. A lot of times we look at things and it just goes by us and we don't think much of it. But you know what? Inside of us, those things affect us. Because whatever we take in through our eyes, guess what? Our mind records that. You ever thought about that? How everything that we see, you know, it went on to say that 83% of all a person learns in a lifetime comes through the sense of sight. If you think back to it and you think about, you know, I don't hear about as much as you did years ago, but people that were born blind and they don't have the same vision of things, even if you explain it to them and you can show it to them with their hands, it's still not the same as if you see it with your eyes. You ever think about that? I had a great uncle who was blind, was blinded in an accident in the mines, but after he was blinded, he could do things that he couldn't do with his sight because his other senses were able to do that. But somebody who was born blind wouldn't even have that sight picture. So Job is saying, you know, I made a covenant with my eyes. And then in verse 7, he's saying, if my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart hath walked after mine eyes. In other words, he's saying, if I step out of the way and start looking at something else, it affects my heart. Because if I'm going down the path that God wants me to, and I start looking at, well, somebody else has something that I don't have, and I start looking that way, what happens? Our heart gets turned away from what God wants us to do. And Job's saying, and we know the story of Job and what happened to him, but Job's saying, Lord, did I let my eyes turn to something that I shouldn't? Job was trying to figure out why were those tribulations coming on him. And he's saying, was it because of something I saw, or I turned my heart away from serving you? And so Job was trying his best to understand about the eyes. In a Matthew Henry commentary, I looked that up a little bit. You can use a number of different. I also looked at the Criswell Study Bible that Preacher Googe gave to me when he was getting ready to move on. He said, "Here's a study Bible you can use." And so I looked it up in those two things, and it says those that would keep their hearts pure must guard their eyes, which are both the outlets and inlets of uncleanness. You ever think about that? That we've got to guard what we see. You know, it's hard, isn't it? Because in this world, it's not easy to not look at what's going on around you. I don't know about you, but the minute you wake up till the minute you lay down, there's always something that could affect what we see. We don't have to go out looking for it. Our eyes will find it. And so in Isaiah 3:16, it talks about those wanton eyes, the eyes that desire to look for things to please self. Because, you know, isn't that what the world says today? We ought to do things to please yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Just look for things and see things that will please you. But, you know, God said, we ought to see those things and do those things that please him, not what please ourselves. Because there again, the things we see affect our heart. And if it affects our heart in such a way that it turns us away from what God wants us to do, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard because there again, it's back to we live in this world, but we're not of this world. But yet we see things that are of this world. And so it also talks about in 2 Peter 2:14, and let's turn there for a minute. And just like you, I'm having to find it myself. I didn't mark it. 2 Peter 2:14. And it says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So in other words, God's word says, this world has eyes full of adultery. They're looking for things that cause them to turn away from God. They can't cease, it says, that cannot cease from sin. You ever think about it, that people that are addicted to pornography and other things, how do they get addicted to it? It's by looking at it. It's by coming in through the eyes, and they can't cease from it. It's like any other addiction. They can't stop because their eyes have transmitted that to their heart, and the heart says, that's what I want to see. And you know, it also brings back memories of something that maybe you heard before as a child or heard about, and it says, remember the children's chorus, oh be careful little eyes what you see. You ever think about that? Even as a child, we ought to teach them to be careful what they look at. And we've had our two grandchildren for about 7 months now, and the other two for probably about a month. And sometimes it's difficult to get children to understand that there's some things we just shouldn't watch. Because they like to watch things on TV, and they like to look at stuff on Facebook and other places. And, you know, I don't have Facebook myself, but I'm not opposed to people having that. But some things you just shouldn't look at. And then there's YouTube, and there's a lot of things you can see on YouTube that help you. I mean, you can go there and find things that will help you, show you how to do something. But there's also a lot of stuff on YouTube that nobody should watch. So we also, as adults, need to teach our children that there's things they shouldn't look at. There's things they don't need to see. Because as most of us adults in here can attest to, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. There's no such thing as turn a button and say, well, I didn't really see it. Miss Nola said, yeah. Once you've seen it, you can't stop it. And so we need to be careful. And I try to teach them this, that, you know, once you make those choices and once it's inside you, that's when the struggle begins, isn't it? Because that's when the heart says, I want to see that. I like that. Because there's a lot of things that are on TV, on social media, that are attractive to kids and attractive to adults. There's stuff that they want to see. So we got to be careful that we don't allow that to affect our heart in such a way that that's what we desire to do. You know, something interesting I read there too was the fact that The first sin began in the eye. Does anybody know where that is? Genesis 3:6. Let's look there. Genesis 3:6. And God's word says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. You ever thought about that? Even in the very beginning, the devil knew what to use to get to a person's heart. He knew that through the eyes, he could get to their heart. You know, until I saw that in a commentary, I never really put that together, the fact that the first sin was through the eyes. If you look at a commentary, there's probably as many mentions of eyes in God's word as a lot of other things. Because think about it, God's eyes, he has eyes as well. He sees. You know, a lot of people think that, well, God won't see everything that I do. But God has eyes as well. Not the same eyes that you and I have, because he doesn't have to wear glasses, does he? He doesn't have to wear glasses to see what... It also talks about certain things that come through the eye gate will weaken us spiritually. Not only does it just affect our heart, but it weakens us spiritually. Because think about it, can we be an effective soul winner if our eyes are desiring to see things that are contrary to winning souls? No, we can't. And so I think it's important to understand that the eyes play a critical part in how we are as Christians. Not only is God looking at us, but we're also looking at the world. And as we look at the world through our eyes, do we see a lost and dying world? Or do we see just people who are around us and it doesn't touch us? Because through our eyes, we've already decided that we can't do anything about it. You ever thought about that? Sometimes people say, well, I can't do anything about it. There's too much to do. But God said, how do we win them? One at a time. He didn't say we have to be like Paul and preach to the masses and see the whole city at one time. We just have to see that one person. It might be your neighbor. It might be somebody you work with. It might be somebody that you've gone to the same coffee shop first thing in the morning, if you go and buy coffee, and you might have saw that person, but you never really saw them. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we see people, but we never really see them as God sees them. We don't see them as a soul. We see them as somebody that we just have a conversation with, and we just go about our own way. But God says, if we're not careful, we'll lose that ability spiritually to deal with people because our hearts will desire other things. Because it's easy to say, well, I'll talk to that person about it later. You ever felt that way? I know I should say something, Lord. I know the Spirit's telling me that, but I have too many other things I really want to do, and I don't see the need for it today. And in our eyes, sometimes because we don't see the need, we just don't do it, do we? Because our heart says, there's another time when we can do it. Because our eyes are desiring to go on to something else. So we got to be careful that what comes through our eyes doesn't affect us spiritually. You know, some of the things, and I talked a little bit about it with children, but we ought to think about it for ourselves. TV, DVDs. I don't know if too many people do DVDs anymore. There's all kinds of other things. Books. How many people read books? But books have a lot of things in them that we shouldn't see. Internet, or going to the coast or the beach. Those are things we need to be careful what we see. And I know I talked about it for children, but we need to also think about it for adults. Because just because something isn't good for children doesn't mean it's good for us. Too many times we want to convince ourselves that we can deal with it. You ever talk to yourself into believing that I could see it and it won't bother me? Miss Lorraine's laughing. She knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can see things and you say, it won't bother me. But you know what? Even the strongest Christian can be affected by what they see. Because I've heard people say, well, I can watch that show and it won't bother me. Well, guess what? If the Spirit's living inside you, whatever you're seeing, the Spirit is seeing. So it ought to bother us what we do. The internet, you know, unfortunately, most of us have to use it either for work or because a lot of things that happen in the world are through the internet. A lot of what we do, even at work where I work, is done through the internet. And you got to be careful because sometimes things will come up through the internet, and like we said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Now we have some filters, and it will pop up and say, "This is restricted. You're not supposed to see that." But our eyes want to see things; they desire to see things. Let's look at Deuteronomy 12:8. And who will read that? Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. Go ahead, John. In other words, God's word saying back in those days, everybody was doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. If they didn't think it was wrong to rob somebody, they robbed them. If they didn't think it was wrong to lie about something, they just did it. But God's word says they did whatsoever their eyes desired. And that's the thing we got to be careful of, is that we don't start desiring things because we think we should do whatever we want to do. Because, you know, God's looking at us and he sees that. He sees that fact. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:16. 2 Chronicles 7:16. You got it, Debbie? Go ahead.
For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually.
This is talking about when God appeared to Solomon, and he said the fact that his eyes and his heart would be there. once again, back to the fact that our eyes and our heart are tied together. What we see affects our heart, and God understood that. When he created us, it wasn't a surprise to him that the first sin was going to be from the eyes. He knew the one sense, and think about it, the one sense that can affect our heart the most is the eyes. Yeah, we can touch and feel things and it can affect us, but the eyes are the greatest sense. But there's some good things that we can do with our eyes. Everything's not bad. And I don't want to come across like everything we see with our eyes is bad. There are good things that we can see, aren't there? We can see what God has prepared for us, can't we? If we look around us and you wake up every day and you look out there, we can see what God prepared for us. Amen. So he didn't make the eyes just so that it would be a temptation to us. He made it so that there'd be good to it. Let's look at 2 Samuel 15:25. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. You ever thought about this? We can find favor in the eyes of God. God can look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful service. He can see the things that we do for him. We can find favor because he sees what's in our heart. You know, we can't see what's in another person's heart, but God can, can't he? He can see what's inside us. Whether we're thinking good thoughts and trying to please the Lord, or whether we're thinking bad thoughts. So it's important that we understand that the eyes are a way that God looks on us, just like we look on the world that he's given us. One other thing, Psalm 25:15. A lot of looking at different places, but I'm trying to just help everybody to see what God showed me, that through our eyes, there's good things and there's bad things. Who will read Samuel 25:15? Did I say? Yeah, Psalms 25:15. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net.
Okay, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Is that how, as Christians, we ought to be? Our eyes ought to always be towards the Lord. When we go to do something, we ought to be looking at it as God would look at it. And I think that's what he's trying to say, is we shouldn't look at it from a fleshly, physical standpoint. We ought to look to it from a spiritual standpoint. You know, they say WWJD, what would Jesus do? But a lot of times, it's what do we do? It's not necessarily what would Jesus do, because he taught us what we're supposed to do. It's what will we do when we see somebody out there that's lost and dying? Do we see him as a sinner and somebody who needs to be saved? Or do we just see him as some soul that we don't have time to care about him? I know in my life, there's times you look at people and you say, you know, I don't think I could talk to that person. You ever felt that way? I don't know that I could talk to that person. And sometimes it's not because they're a motorcycle gangster or something like that. Sometimes it's because we don't think we're good enough to be able to witness to that person or to be able to talk to them. But if we look at it through God's eyes, we won't care who that person is, because we'll see what he sees. And what does he see? He doesn't see the outward appearance of that person. He sees what's inside him. And if nothing else, if we can grasp that, of when we look at someone, we need to look at them as though Jesus was looking at them, and think what we've learned and how we'd use that to be able to reach that person. So hopefully from all of this we can gather that our eyes can be a very effective tool to do the things that God wants us to do. But we've also got to be careful that we don't allow our eyes to affect our heart, so that spiritually we won't do what God wants us to do. I know it's hard. It's hard to be in this world and not of this world. And I think about it this way. If it was easy, would God have needed us to do it? But he knew that he had given us the ability to do it. And I think it's through what we see, what we read, through our eyes. Once again, what we see is through our eyes. What we have in God's Word is because we've seen it. If those that had never seen all of God's Word can do something, those of us who have seen all of God's Word surely can find it in our hearts to do something for the Lord. Thank you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity you've given me tonight to present what I thought was something important to look at, the fact that our eyes can be a great help to us as we reach out to a lost and dying world, and it can also be a trouble to us if we allow ourselves to affect our heart in a negative way. I pray, Lord, that as we go about the rest of this week, Lord, that we take that extra minute or two to just look about us and see those things that we might be able to do better for you, Lord, or those things that we're doing that aren't really what you desire us to do, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to be a greater witness as we go out. And I pray, Lord, for the pastor and Pastor James and their wives as they're away as well, and as they're going to be traveling back, pray that you'll keep them safe. And Lord, just help us to always have a desire to look at things as you would do it. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.